Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer sitting in for JP. Brian Mitchell going to be joining us here shortly, just a bit. But it's time to get out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome in our friend Barry Sferluga from the Washington Post. Barry, how's it going today?
What's up, Toby?
How has it been out in St. Louis? Have you noticed any differences around the ball club with the new manager and general manager?
So I was just there I went in for game one on Tuesday because it was, you know, Mike DiBartolo was going to speak and it was kind of the lid lifting. So I left before last night's game. And I think, you know, you've probably discussed what my takeaway would have been. I'm much less interested in Miguel Cairo. I don't think he is the person going forward. I think the manager job is really, really the secondary story here. And I think the striking things were that Mike DiBartolo, who sat alongside Mike Rizzo for a long, long time, clearly thinks that there's a better direction for this franchise. And I think he began his audition for the big job on Tuesday, or really on Sunday when he addressed the team, but on Tuesday in a forward-facing way by saying, you know, very clearly before he was even asked the question, that they need a new direction, that just stepping up their game is not enough. They need real change. And I think it's interesting when you hear that from the guy who had been riding shotgun to Mike Rizzo for so long. But it also is instructive that, like, the person who's in the big chair is ultimately the person who decides on what the direction of the franchise is. And that doesn't mean everybody there is in lockstep. Mike DiBartolo is clearly somebody who values a more modern approach in using data and using technology and using innovation. How much of an imprint he can make in that regard in a few months remains to be seen. But it's my belief that they have to go out and talk to a wide variety of candidates. That being said, only one person gets to make an imprint on the franchise right now, and that's Mike DiBartolo. And with the draft and the trade deadline, he's got two big opportunities to say, look, here's why I'm doing this. Here's the moves I'm making. This is why I'm the person who has the best interests of the Nationals going forward. You should hire me.
Talking with Barry Sferluga of the Washington Post here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Toby Altizer in for JP on B. Mitch and Finley this week. That's what I thought was so interesting, hearing some of the comments, reading the article with some anonymous sources after the fact, talking about the front office and the excitement, I guess is maybe the right word, or the changes that they're looking forward to in the front office. Do you think it's just, hey, we're going to make changes because we got a new guy in charge? Or some people kind of read it as, man, maybe there was some disdain for Mike Rizzo in the organization. Did you get any of that?
I don't know that disdain is the right word, but I think that there was frustration that they felt behind. They didn't think that the processes that Mike used, and to be fair, that Mike used to build a winner for 8 years, and it, you know, that stretch from 2012 to 2019, they essentially played only a handful of meaningless games, because even the years that they didn't make the postseason, they were contenders to get there. But I think that if you were in that front office and you go to winter meetings and you have colleagues at different franchises around the sport, you have an understanding that the Nationals were not, A, outfitted with all the tools that most teams have, and that's in technology, that's in bodies, analysts, that kind of stuff. You could feel that they felt behind. Now, a lot of that is on ownership, and I think we can talk about Mike Rizzo and Mike DiBartolo in the front office and the differences between their approaches, and that's really, really important. But I think that so much of this goes back to how supportive are the learners in building a championship team again. That's going to be in money for payroll for sure, but it's really going to be, I think anybody who's coming in for an interview is going to have hard questions for ownership about, look, are you all in on building out a modern front office? Because that's going to take resources too. So I think, I don't think that's, going back to your original question, disdain for Mike Rizzo. I think it's kind of an exhale of like, okay, we really did need a fresh start here. We are behind in a number of areas. Like, is this a real opportunity to catch up and move forward?
I think that's part of the excitement that I have for this move is, look, Mike Rizzo has a great track record in terms of what he's been able to do to create a winner. Hasn't necessarily been as good recently. The draft and develop stuff we could spend plenty of time on. I think everyone understands that. But when Ken Rosenthal wrote his piece kind of saying that the Nationals are a bottom feeder and kind of going in, some Nats fans were frustrated by it, understandably so. You don't want to see your team trashed like that. But my point coming out of that was they have to make a real decision talking about ownership and the front office of how they're going to operate. Because if they're going to continue to spend like this, then maybe they need to start operating like a Tampa Bay Rays, Cleveland Guardians, Milwaukee Brewers, and spend resources on that. Do you get a sense that they'd be willing to make that sort of change, even though I'd still prefer that they act like they're in a big market, like they're in the nation's capital? But if they're going to continue spending on the Major League payroll that is bottom 10 in the sport, bottom 5 in the sport, then maybe they could go full in on the analytics and try to win that way.
Well, I think both can be true. I mean, why can't you go full in on the analytics and spend on Major League payroll? I mean, you don't have to be the Dodgers to do that. I would just say that right now, I think there are important people in the organization that think that spending the right way on resources that would help in player development and scouting in Major League analysis is more important than going and signing Zach Gallen or something, a major big free agent signing, because they're not quite there yet. I think they can't continue to never spend at the major league level. But I think that I asked Mike DiBartolo in that media availability when he started talking about, look, we need more reliance on data analysis and technology and innovation. I asked him directly, like, well, that all costs money too. Do you feel like ownership is in on spending for that? And he didn't say, yes, they are going to spend on that. He said, every conversation that I've had with ownership, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, it has been that they are committed to building a championship team again. They want to do that soon, and they understand that that takes some commitment. So I think if you're Mike DiBartolo, and again, you're the person in that chair who has the chance, has ownership's ear, and you know ownership already personally, you're spending this early part of your time on the job, not just on the draft, but in really kind of coming up with a organizational chart that says, this is who we have, this is what everybody does, this is what we need to supplement that and really build it into a juggernaut so that we have all the information at all levels of the organization to implement and make the players better and help us make better choices in what players to acquire. I'd be shocked if he wasn't doing some version of that to show the learners and say, we haven't had enough in these areas and this is what it's going to take.
Talking with Barry Sferluga from the Washington Post, Toby Altizer in on Beamich and Finley today. How far do you think this team is away? because Ken Rosenthal also had just recently said that they should look into trading Mackenzie Gore, which I think would be crazy, at least at this deadline. I'm not going to let an interim general manager trade away my ace and potential future superstar if that's going to be the case, if maybe, you know, the team sells or whatever it may be. But how far do you actually think they are away? Because, you know, talking before the season, you had Davey and Rizzo talking about being competitive this year. And I don't think that the actions in the offseason in terms of what they were given to work with, I don't think that said that they were going to be competitive. But I think they seemed to believe that they were going to be much better than they were this season. Do you think that maybe a change of a voice and cleaning up some of the base running errors and little things here and there and some of the things that they can do this offseason to improve the team, that they could be in a spot where maybe they're approaching 500 next year?
I think they're further away than I thought they were. And I think that part of the disconnect and part of the issue is that Davey and Riz did think that, and we're saying that, look, we're sick of rebuilding. We want to play meaningful games in September. This group has been up here for a while, most of them, and it's time to go. And I think that was a little bit of a misassessment of where they were. They have a burgeoning superstar in James Wood. They have a potential Cy Young candidate in the future in Mackenzie Gore, and they have a really good shortstop dynamic player who, if he gets a little more consistent, will be a star in CJ Abrams. But after that, you know, we'll see what Dylan Cruz is over time. Where are they? Like, Jake Irvin's a good, fourth starter and a really good rotation. Maybe Mitchell Parker develops into a five. Like, Cade Cavalli did not get called up to make that start the Sunday of the Red Sox game because he's kind of a mess right now. Like, they have Alex Clemmie on the way. They have Travis Sikora on the way. But you're really cherry picking more than I think I thought they were. And so that leads to that hard question about Mackenzie Gore. And I just don't think it's crazy to consider trading him. I mean, you have to get the right package back like they did for Juan Soto, but he's in the exact point in his service time clock that Soto was. Any contender who trades for Mackenzie Gore at this deadline gets him for three postseasons, or potentially three postseasons. And that means that the package you would get back is more than you would get at next year's deadline, and certainly more than you would get in a rental situation in 2026, which what Mike DiBartolo has to ask himself and has to show ownership at this deadline is, if we keep this guy, where are we going to be at next year's deadline? Like, are we really going to be realistically a contender? And if the answer is no, then the only responsible thing to do is to explore what you could get in return for him, because he's got 2026 and 2027. He's a Scott Boras client. It's really unlikely he's going to sign a team-friendly extension, given not just that he's a Boras client, but given that he's sick of losing around here and it's hard to see the light. Like, I think that's not just a flippant, oh, they should consider trading Mackenzie Gore. Like, I think Mike DiBartolo, when he gets through the draft, his most significant conversations are going to be with ownership about that and with other teams about that.
Talk with Barry Sferluga, the Washington Post, here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Switching from the negative about the Nationals to a positive, on Monday, MLB Home Run Derby, James Wood going to take part. How good do you think that is for James to be taking part in that for himself and also for the Nationals?
Well, I think it's, you have very few opportunities for these guys who are part of our local programming every night during the summer to truly have a stage that is national. And I think the Home Run Derby, in a way, is even a better stage than the All-Star Game itself, because, the guys that advance are around for multiple rounds and you're kind of talking about them more and you're seeing, James's power to all fields. And baseball is kind of a local sport at this point. Like, people who are, in any market, Kansas City, Seattle, wherever, are really into the Royals, the Mariners, the Nationals, and don't always have as great an understanding of who's really good from elsewhere. And this is a great opportunity for James and the Nationals as a brand to say, wow, this guy's really, really talented. Look at how tall he is. And I know you don't run in the home run derby, but if he gets to go from first to third in the game on Tuesday night, people will kind of, you know, latch on to like, oh, okay, this is a guy I need to watch. And this is his first full major league season. What a talent. And yeah, I just think that's a real positive for him and for the club.
Barry, yesterday the Commanders unveiled some new unis, which are really just throwbacks to kind of the 80s era Redskins uniforms. What'd you make of that?
I mean, I think it was coming, and I think it makes sense, and it's just another indication that Josh Harris and his folks are kind of in tune with the fan base. I mean, obviously they're not exactly the same, but it's the right color, it's the right design. I would not be surprised if they go from being, you know, alternate uniforms to the full uniform in the next few years. There's a way to be modern in how you put your roster together and how you manage the salary cap and how you coach these guys and improve these guys. But there's also a way with all the extra stuff to tip a hat to what everybody agrees is the most important and positive era, for that club, for that franchise. And that's, you know, the 80s through to the 91 team, with three titles and the other Super Bowl appearances, and just every Sunday being a thing. Like, bring back as much of that nostalgia as you can.
Talking with Barry Sferluga of the Washington Post here on B. Mitch and Finley. Final one, Terry McLaurin. Seems like we're getting different reports. We've heard from James Palmer last night saying that Dan Quinn and company still in contact with him, but there's maybe some frustration about the contract. We've heard other reports saying similar of the frustration with the contract. Where do you stand with the McLaurin contract? Are you confident that this thing gets done? And at what point do you start to maybe worry a little bit more about whether this is actually going to get done or not?
So just, you know, in full disclosure, I'm not like reporting on this stuff day to day. And so I don't have any real inside knowledge. But I would say that the time I would get worried is if training camp is opening and Terry's not there, because these things have a way of playing out. Obviously, there's time now, so there's really no reason for either side to kind of give in. The thing I would be concerned about is if the Commanders are really going to be hard line about a fourth year, then that would be, or if Terry's going to be hard line, that this has to be four rather than three. It's not, the dollars to me aren't as important as the term. And if, you know, that's the thing that I would be concerned could get it going into training camp or even further.
Well, Barry, appreciate the time. Great stuff. Make sure you check out his work in the Washington Post. You can follow him on Twitter at Barry Sferluga, Sverluga. Barry, appreciate the time today, man.
Thanks, Toby. Appreciate it.
That was Barry Sferluga of the Washington Post. He joined us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We'll take a quick break and we come back. Brian Mitchell's here. Also, we're going to talk to a former teammate of his, Redskins legend Gary Clark, joins the program next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Next. Toby Altizer in for JP this week. Brian Mitchell has made it to the studio, ladies
yes.
and gentlemen. B. Mitch has made it.
I'm here.
Doing some flag football stuff this morning?
Yeah, I was over at St. Agnes St. Stephen's Upper School. That's it. Yeah. It was right there in Alexandria, Arlington area. Flag star. They had like eight or nine boys teams, four girls teams. So, I mean, the flag football thing is huge these days, especially for girls, you know. So, out there with them, having a little talk.
Some of those kids are crazy good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, the guy was trying to let them know, you know, you can get a scholarship in this.
You know? Well, I mean, heck, it's an Olympic sport.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, but it was fun. Had to give a little speech with them, do a Q&A, and then take some pics and watch them do their thing.
I was starting the show earlier today talking about, so remember we were talking about Netflix releasing the show Quarterback?
Yeah.
I get so wrapped up in these things. When I start one, I basically got to finish it as soon as possible. I just can't stop thinking about it.
You watched the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing in the last two nights. My favorite part about it, B. Mitch, was the quarterbacks were on are Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, and Jared Goff. All three teams that Washington beat last year. And three signature wins for Washington last year. Uh-huh. So it starts off.
So you got to see Washington.
Yeah. Basically. So my favorite thing was to see, like, Burrow's like, man, it sucks when you play darn near perfect and lose, talking about week three against Washington. They didn't spend as much time on Kirk because he'd been benched by the time that Atlanta was in town. But my favorite one was Detroit. They're all talking about, oh, man, we're planning week to week. We're excited. You're thinking we're going to go to the NFC Championship. And, you know, his wife is obviously, Jared Goff's wife is obviously excited and thinking ahead, like, oh, what are we going to get together? And it's weird. And they're talking with just out to dinner and all these things. And then you get Washington roll into town. They show a video of Jaden standing there.
That ass.
And Jaden and the boys just go up there and find a way to win that thing. See, that was awesome.
They were planning. They were like I was when I was in Philly. They had already spent their money. And they had to change their plans.
Yeah. No, it was awesome to see all those things through the lens of the
other side.
See,
now you're going to make me go watch it because I would just skip to the part.
Even if you just watched the last episode to see, you know, how excited that team was for where they were, and then Washington to just step in there. And
how long is each episode?
About 50 minutes.
And you watch how many?
Seven of them.
I'm not watching seven in one night. see, this is...
I didn't watch all seven in one night.
Two nights.
This is my issue
with that, Toby. We already talk about how much there's not anything to watch, per se. Why you watch everything that you could watch? You could make that a five-night thing.
I can't space it out, man. I can't. Once I start watching something,
you're gonna complaining about it. Nothing to watch. I'm gonna say, well, if you wouldn't watch all the damn things in one time,
I'm not gonna complain about it. Well, I might at some point.
Yeah, you will. I know you. I will probably go watch that. It'll take me about 7 to 10 days to watch all of them.
Yeah, it was interesting to see the ups and downs of an NFL season. Well, also,
maybe quicker because I'll run through the Atlanta Kirk stuff.
It also made me miss football.
Yeah.
No, it's funny because the Kirk stuff, I could hear your voice the entire time I'm watching it because Kirk's like, man, you know, I got hit in the Saints game, and then my elbow and shoulder and my ankle still. And he's like, but I don't want to make excuses. And I'm like,
well, stop making them.
I like you, Kirk, but, dude, you're making excuses.
See, and this is the thing I so love about Kirk. Kirk always tells you what he is not doing while he's doing it. You know, like he, when he was here, we've been new. I knew a long time he did not want to stay here. But he always said, yo, I'm trying my best to show. No, you wasn't. You knew as soon as you got, when they ran out of options to franchise you, you out. He knew that the whole time.
I was just thinking about some of the other guys. I'd love to see Josh Allen on this. I'd love to see what his preparation is like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most interesting dude that would be fun to watch is Baker Mayfield.
Well, we know Baker knows how to play up. Baker was the best commercial guy out there.
There's no question about
that.
So
I know Baker would play up some stuff. The people I want to see are the people that I think are a little bit different than what we expect quarterbacks to be. Lamar.
I'd love to see Lamar, too.
I'd like to see Lamar do some stuff. We'll get Gary. We'll finish him up. But I'll tell you, Jaden, but, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And they're going to be fun to watch on Hard Knocks this year. It's time to get out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome in Redskins legend Gary Clark. Gary, what's going on? How you doing?
Well, how you gentlemen doing today?
Hey, man, we're doing good. I was at the place that I think they say you were there yesterday. Did you go to the little flag football thing yesterday?
I did.
Yeah, they were like, he was asking me who I thought was like the best speakers and motivators on the team, and I was like, well, Gary Clark. He was here yesterday, and then I said Kendrick Golson. Yep, he was here too. He's good. So I basically I named the guys that I know that they have to pick from, and everybody I picked had been to one of those camps. Darnarian,
yeah,
Kendrick, you. I told him if you can get Rock Cartwright to start talking, he won't stop, but you got to get him started, you know? And he said, well, we're going to see how you are today. I'm like, well, damn, y'all just put me on the spot. But it was fun, man.
They do a good job with the kids.
Yes, they do. They do.
So, Gary, we wanted to talk to you about these uniforms that were released yesterday. It was fun seeing the gleam in B. Mitch's eye. I'm curious what your thoughts were when you saw these unis that were released that are kind of a throwback to that 80s and 90s era of the Redskins.
Well, I tell you what, you can never go wrong with anything that happened with the Washington team in the 80s and 90s. So I'm a superstitious guy, so whatever's going to make you win football games, put it out there. I'm just that way.
Hey, when you go ahead, Jay.
No, go ahead.
Hey, so I was telling Toby, when I started looking through videos and stuff from that time, it's like we were in the white uniforms, the white jersey, I would say 85-90% of the time. And they wasn't just necessarily our home jersey. Hell, we was in them on the road and all the time too.
Joe's a little superstitious too. We won a lot more in those jerseys, so superstition goes across the board.
So,
oh man!
Obviously, you had a lot of success here in Washington. You saw Super Bowl victories. You were part of Super Bowl teams. What was it like to see this team after? I mean, for the first time in my life, this team won more than 10 games. This team went to an NFC Championship game. What was it like seeing this team get back to that level of football again last season?
It was great. It was awesome to see the change in the fan base. Like, we went from having like 50-50 fans in the stadium by the end of the season, it was like 90 to 95% Washington fans in the stadium. And that's a huge benefit for your team, because there's nothing worse than playing at home and then you hear crowds, the other team do something good, and you hear the fans just roar. So for me, it was awesome to see that the burgundy gold was back to where it had been years ago, what me and B. Mitch was used to. I mean, we were just used to seeing it. It was an everyday occurrence for us when we played. But to see that they got back to that and seeing that people were coming out, people were wearing more gear, people were really supporting the burgundy gold, because, you know, winning allows you to do those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's cool just to see the fan base, because for me, you know, I'm only 26 years old, and growing up. It
wasn't baby gear.
I didn't get to see any of it. No, I didn't. And so, you know, my family indoctrinated me, and I'm glad that they did. But, you know, a lot of my friends didn't grow up fans of this team. But it was cool to see for the first time really in my life that it was like you're walking around just going to the grocery store and people are wearing Jaden jerseys and you're walking around and shopping, doing whatever, and you see people out in the burgundy and gold. It was cool to see that fan base kind of re-energized and see plenty of people that had left the team for one reason or another, whether it's because bad play or other stuff off the field. You know, at least you're starting to see some of this fan base come back and be what it once was.
Oh, yeah, and you're going to see in the players how the players play as well, because there's nothing like having a 12th man, truly having a 12th man. And we haven't had that for a long time. We just haven't, unfortunately. But now, in the last year, we did have a 12th man, and it makes the players play better. I mean, I loved playing at RFK when I was playing. So I know for now, for the Redskins at Northwest Stadium, and for the Washington Commanders at Northwest Stadium, they're going to feel that too, because there's nothing like showcasing what you do best in front of the people who appreciate it most. So, I mean, I'm excited about the year coming up. I'm sure that the team is, and I guarantee you the players are. I guarantee you they're going to play much better football than they had in the past.
Winning
cures a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned RFK and playing there and the possibility of them going back. Do you, in your mind, feel that this thing is going to happen, Gary? I know I do. I think we're going through the hemming and hawing of politics, but I think ultimately at the end you'll have a stadium at that site.
I think so too. I mean, for the district itself, it's nothing but, honestly, it's nothing but the support, especially the revenue that it's going to generate for the city itself. Just in those different weekends that happens for the stadium. Not to mention that I'm sure that they'll go bring entertainment portions to the stadium as well. So D.C. will get a much, much needed revenue boost. And I don't know how you can say no to that. And in terms of like fans, some fans will complain. It's one day out of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only, 8 to 10 days out of the week,
mm-hmm.
out of the year. So, I mean, I'm almost certain it has. I mean, we've been doing some, you know, How do I put this? Politicking ourselves and supporting our different businesses,
lobbying, all fun stuff.
And you know, allowing them to see. I mean, what it means to have the excitement of their patrons, just what you know, with the alumni coming in and the excitement with their patrons. So imagine when you have, you know, these guys who play in the city now get to come. They'll come into D.C. more often as well. Just the players will come into D.C. more often now because it's the city that they play in.
One thing that you mentioned there is with the alumni and some of the relationship, talking with Gary Clark here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Obviously, we've heard B. Mitch's opinion and his experience and the difference in the change since ownership has changed in the relationship that the team has with the alumni. How have you felt that change?
Well, me and B. Mitch, we're pretty fortunate because of the way that we played. I mean, B. Mitch being the best return guy in NFL history, me being one of the more recognizable players back in Washington's heyday, we've always been treated pretty wise, nice by. I've never been treated bad by anybody.
And you shouldn't be, by the way.
I've always been treated extremely, extremely well by all the ownership that we have, from the Cooks to the Snyders to our current ownership. But there's something about the current ownership that gets everybody excited. Those guys are true gentlemen. They understand the pull that the alumni do have with the city, with the fans. They've been nothing but spectacular to all of us, you know. So I'm a big fan of the current administration, but I really have nothing bad to say about the old administration either, because at the end of the day, players win football games, not management. Coaches help as long as they have a good strategy and a good philosophy, but players win football games. Like Brian Mitchell returns those punts and kicks, not the coach, not the owner, not the fans. So players win football games.
Yeah.
Let's not get it twisted. I hate when we start to blame other people when we lose, you know. And we lost against that Giants game in 1986 in that freaking championship game that I sucked in. they had nothing to do with me sucking. I sucked.
Uh-huh.
Ownership had nothing to do with it. You know, fans had nothing to do with it. I sucked out on that day. So, you know, I mean, let's keep, you know, it where it belongs. The players win football games. That's what they get paid to do. We get paid to do a job. If we don't do a job well, you can blame us, but you can't necessarily blame. You can't blame the ownership at all because they really don't play. All they do is pay the players.
Yeah.
Well, there's one guy out there. They pay the players. There's a guy out there that's looking to get paid, which I think he should. I have a lot of respect for him, Terry McLaurin, a young man who has been trying to get a new deal, an extension, doesn't have guarantees on his contract right now. Your thoughts on Terry, you know, as a player and, you know, moving forward, do you feel he deserves to get that?
I'm a big fan of Terry McLaurin. I mean, I think Terry is one of the best leaders that the organization has had in a long time. He lets his play do the talking a lot. You know, you don't see him. He reminds me a lot of Art Monk, to be quite honest. He reminds me of Art. He has hands like Ricky, passionate about the game like me, but he knows when to keep his mouth shut. He's not like me. He doesn't run his mouth to get anybody in trouble. So he's more disciplined than I was. But I literally think he may be one of the best receivers we've ever had in Washington. That's including me, Ricky, Art, Charlie, Bobby Mitchell. It's including Charlie Brown. It's including all the guys that play there. Like, he could hold his own with all of us. And I think, I'm hoping that they get something worked out because I think he is a true, I mean, even at his age, he's not showing aging, you know. And his game is continually going up. You don't see his game going down at all. So I hope they get something worked out. I mean, because I think he is a true asset to our offense. I think him and Jaden, you could see their chemistry is just off the chain. Like, I mean, like, that boy comes down with pretty much anything. If it touches his hand, he's coming down with it.
There you go.
And that's, I mean, you have like a 95 to 98% touch rate. They touch the ball, you come down with it 95 to 98% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to argue with. I mean, I don't care what age you are, you know, and I think he's one of the best receivers in the league today, and I think he'll probably be one of the best receivers in the league for the next 3 to 5 years, if not longer.
Gary, I got to ask you.
He takes great care of himself.
Sorry to cut you off. Got to ask you, though, on the way out here. You're teammates with the man to my right for a couple of seasons, I believe 3 seasons. What's your best Brian Mitchell story?
What?
Which one? I mean, I think the best one that I've had is seeing him as a rookie in training camp. You know, we're in training camp, you know, and this guy's, you know, we come in, he's a quarterback, you know. So I've never seen a quarterback quite honestly act like B. Mitch before in my lifetime. They typically don't try to have any controversy. They definitely never want to fight anybody. B. Mitch's rookie training camp, he wanted to fight everybody, and won most of them. He even fought Jumpy Gathers, and I don't know anybody who wanted to fight Jumpy Gathers, but B. Mitch did not back down from him. I think what people love most about B. Mitch is he's 100%. He's 100% all day long, every day, any day, 100% effort. 100%, you better bring it because he's bringing it 100% all the time. Practice, he's bringing it 100%. Games, he's bringing it 100%. So you can try to go on there like at 50%, he's going to like smash your ass. So, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to say ass on the radio.
That's one you can say. I use it all the time.
he is the closest thing to me in terms of personality that I think the Washington team's ever had. I think his personality surpasses mine, and I had a big one. I think his surpasses mine. But it comes out in his numbers. Numbers don't lie.
Mm-hmm. 100%, Gary.
Numbers just don't lie. And what gets me, though, because I was a return guy throughout my whole career pretty much, you know, from high school, from youth league to high school to college. You know, I was an all-purpose guy. And for B. Mitch to come up there, never return, never in his life return a kick or a punt in his life, and have that immediate success and then longevity success, that's unheard of. Yeah, I mean, that's why that gentleman definitely belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, without question. Unfortunately, they just take their time in putting special team guys in. But without question, he is the best I've ever seen do it. And I've seen a lot do it. And
he's
the best I've ever seen do it.
Well, Gary, appreciate the time, man. And if it makes you feel any better, B. Mitch still is ready to fight anybody around here anytime.
100%. I know that already. That's why I was like, I never gave him any crap as a rookie. I was like, he's crazy. I was like, that rookie's crazy. I'm gonna leave him alone. I ain't gonna make him sing. I'm not gonna make him do anything. I was like, he's crazy. I'm leaving him alone.
But Gary, appreciate the time and enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, G. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a great day.
You too, brother.
Absolutely. Peace, that's man. Washington legend Gary Clark on the Rude Guest Hotline. Coming up next, Brock Purdy had some nice things to say about another Washington receiver. We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. Right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back, B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP this week. So we saw some audio from Bussin' with the Boys, former Washington linebacker Will Compton and Taylor Lewan. They had Brock Purdy on.
Yeah.
And Brock Purdy had some nice things to say about Deebo Samuel, saying he's going to miss having him in his offense.
What was it like losing Deebo this offseason?
I mean, it sucks, dude. He's my boy. You know, I love Deebo. Day one, he's always had my back and believed in me when I got in. I didn't really know, you know, how the guys were going to take it when I did get thrown in. Jimmy went down. I was like the last quarterback, and Deebo, man, was nothing but just great to me, dude. Building me up and just giving me confidence, man. In games, you know, we fed off each other's energy and building each other up. Like, it was awesome. And over the last couple of years, same thing. So When you lose, I mean, we created just a great relationship. He's my brother, but you know, again, that's just how this business goes. And I hope he goes to Washington and kills it and does great. I mean, anytime you get Debo the ball, man, you never know what can happen. So
yeah,
he's an explosive player, exciting to watch. He's got a lot of great ball in front of him too. So
yeah, you know, and I take from that is this: if you want to tell me that a player is great, show me the fans of the former team he was on knocking him, or the fans from a team that he beat knocking him.
Mm-hmm.
But you go talk to the actual players that were in the locker room with him, you find out what you're looking at. What I recall, every time I saw San Francisco play, and they were showing their walk to the stadium, it was two people leading the way. Debo Samuels and Trent Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their little boom box.
Yeah.
And to be totally honest with you, Debo seemed like the big dog and Trent was the little brother following him. Trent's older than Debo. But when I saw that, it told me a lot because I know Trent Williams. And if Trent giving you that level of respect, you're a badass. Listen to Brock talk about him. And then when we saw him running an install period and the 49ers fans started trying to knock him, you know what that tell me? Damn good player. Because the former team that you don't play with anymore always try to knock you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about the team that you might have beat. How we always hear the Chicago Bears talking about Jaden because he whipped that ass. Okay? So I know we got a player. I've seen him play. And let's be real. JP has said all the time, if I give somebody credit normally, they must be real good because I don't just give credit just to give it. I see a guy catch a ball, fans lose their mind. I'm like, okay, he's supposed to catch that damn ball. He's an NFL player, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've watched this dude make play after play after play, and I watch him put his body in positions and situations. Well, his coaches put him in positions and situations that he probably shouldn't have been in. And he went into that thing full speed ahead like a damn fireman attacks a fire. That's how he would attack it, running inside the tackle. What I love about him now, being here, Cliff likes to get him on edges against smaller people. I think success is going to come with him, so I'm looking forward to it.
I thought it was cool to hear that from Brock Purdy because you kind of know the player that Debo is. I think we all understand who he is in mm-hmm. terms of how he plays on the football field. You know you're going to get that bulldog mentality. You know you're going to get a really versatile player
yep.
that can make things happen after the catch. You know, you kind of knew what you were getting there. But to hear Brock Purdy talk about him taking him under his wing, I mean, that doesn't sound crazy now. But think about what Brock Purdy was when he started.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, probably not even supposed to make the roster.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the last quarterback there. And then pretty soon, he's your starting quarterback.
Think about it. The receiver's success and production directly goes back to what you can do for him. And if this guy is sitting here like, yo, dog, you're going to be all right, trying to give you that confidence, you'll never, ever forget that guy. You know what I mean? Like, man, come on, bro. You're the last player picking the draft. All of a sudden, they throw you in there, and instead of the guy looking at you like, oh, Lord, hell. I got to deal with this crap? Nah, dog, you're going to be okay. I'll be there for you.
Well, yeah,
that's confidence. That's a hell of a confidence builder.
That's the thing is, you know, he doesn't explicitly say this, but I'm sure it was something that it wasn't, oh, now Brock Purdy's the starting quarterback, so let me go over there and chat him up. I'm sure this is something that started from day one, and that's something that I think is special, and you learn a little insight into Debo Samuel because I've never thought of him as a bad teammate, but you know, when I heard Debo was coming to D.C., my first thought wasn't, oh, great teammate. But from the sounds of that from Brock Purdy, that sounds like that's someone that's awesome that you want to have on your football team, someone that's building someone up. Because, you know, for the Commanders equivalent, that'd be like him creating a great relationship with Sam Hartman, and Sam Hartman has to step in and finish the year, right?
Yeah.
And that's the sort of thing that you don't necessarily always get in the National Football League because, oh, who cares? I mean, that's the third quarterback. He's never going to play. Well, next thing you know, he's playing for you.
What happens is there are veteran players who will go out their way to ingratiate the guys that they see has the potential to help. When veterans step up to younger players, is not necessarily because they want to. It's because they say, this dude can help us win. And the first thing they know that that young player wants is the confidence, a booster. When a veteran comes to you, it changes your whole mindset. When I got here in 1990, I remember sitting on the opposite field trying to do what those guys were doing. I would never go bother them. And Coach Gibbs say, they'll invite you one day. Just keep doing what you're doing. And it was Raven Caldwell and Kelvin Bryant started inviting me to go have lunch with them and go hang out with them. Ernest Biner invited me over to his house. And I'm like, yo, man, why y'all didn't invite the other guys over? They're like, ah, man, this we saw something in you. And then when I got older, I began to do it to other guys. Because when you don't want guys on the team that can't help you. I mean, you might like the dude, but if the dude can't help you win football games, to hell with him. That's how it is. So for him to go straight to Brock, he saw something early. Kyle say he saw something. But you know what Kyle also saw? Veteran players giving that guy love. And that right there, if a coach thinks, okay, this guy could be a guy, and he see the veteran players giving him that love, he know he made the right decision.
Yeah, the players understand right away.
There you go.
You can tell right away.
Yeah.
Whether this dude's going to be able to play with me or not. And so, yeah, that's kind of a cool thing. And just to hear that sort of a story from Brock Purdy, someone that now has gotten paid and now is a big-time quarterback. But when he was drafted, he was Mr. Irrelevant. Somebody that, I mean, frankly, if you're talking about this in San Francisco, you're wondering, eh, he's probably not making the roster. It really doesn't matter. And he turned into be, you know, your franchise quarterback. So that's a cool story to have. Now Debo here is going to do the same thing with Jaden, I'm sure, and hopefully he has a great season this season. Coming up next, I want to continue talking about the Commanders. Yesterday they unveiled the new uniforms, which are just a kind of a throwback look to the 80s-style Redskins uniforms. Are there any other changes you want to see? We can also get into the piece that Mike Florio wrote. Not necessarily a fan of what he has to say.
I don't buy what he's selling. I don't buy what he's selling. I haven't been buying what he's selling even when I was working for NBC, and they would tell me, don't really... You know, knock him and don't go against him. I'm like, if I don't believe in what he's saying, I'm not going to agree with it.
Well,
to hell with y'all. You pay me for my opinion, not for me to go along with a dude that's just trying to start some ish.
Yeah, I don't necessarily buy what he's selling, but we'll talk about that next. If you want to hop in, feel free as well. 800-636-1067. Also, Bleep You Thursday comes up at 1 o'clock.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.